We've been gearing up for it for some time now, but it's almost here. The election arrives on Tuesday, and we're going to dedicate today's Behind the Headlines to election coverage. I'm your host, Katie O'Connell. Thanks for listening. Coming up in today's show, I'll walk you through everything from the latest PolitiFact claims to the stories our reporters are looking for on election night. And never fear, I know it's been a contentious election cycle, so we'll have some lighter fare in the show as well. If you've ever wondered about the origin of the I Voted stickers, you're in luck. One of our reporters has tracked down a few possible answers. We'll hear from reporter Sarah Hauer with that segment at the end of today's show. First order of business, Madison and Milwaukee have reported record-breaking early voting turnout. During our JS on Politics show on Thursday, editor Greg Borowski talked to reporters Mary Spicuzza and Craig Gilbert about what this early voting means for the state.
Who's got the best ground game? I mean, where is the advantage on that front, do you think, Mary?
A lot of Democratic strongholds. City of Milwaukee has broken, or if not, will soon break its record. We're seeing record-breaking early voting in Madison and Dane County, too. So, I mean, obviously, someplace like Waukesha County always has very high voter turnout, but I think Hillary Clinton really wants to see high turnout in places like Milwaukee and Madison.
Do you think, Craig, is that sort of stuff a sign of enthusiasm, or is it a sign of more convenience, or people
it's
just
both.
Want to be
I mean,
over,
it's not a it's not 100% barometer of the vote, because some people, you know, a lot of the people that are voting earlier are people that would vote anyway. I do think there's an interesting difference in Wisconsin. An interesting wrinkle is in a lot of battleground states. I think the sense is that Democrats clearly have a better ground game because the Trump organization doesn't really have a ground game. But in Wisconsin, the Republicans do have a ground game. Both parties have gotten very good in recent election cycles at driving their vote and getting out their vote. So I think it's more of a wash. It's more of a standoff in terms of the ground game in Wisconsin. But it's a relative advantage for Republicans compared to other states where they, I think they can't count on that extra tick in the margins on election day that Democrats are going to get in some states.
Editor Greg Borowski also asked Craig and Mary what they'll be looking for Tuesday night.
Well, we talked about it a lot, but the wow counties, I mean, it's so fascinating that these counties that have become more and more Republican with every election have fallen off for Donald Trump. So it's not just the margins, it's the turnout. And also the difference in the wow counties between the Senate race and the presidential. We're also seeing in the polls a really interesting difference where Ron Johnson does not have the same Milwaukee problem that Donald Trump does. So that's a big key to the election in both races.
All right. And Mary, what will you be watching on Tuesday night?
Well, I should have brought in the New Yorker cartoon with the Kremlin watching Waukesha County to see what happens with voter turnout. I think I'll be really waiting to see with the Ron Johnson race. Obviously, it's so close. Will he continue to outperform Trump as we're seeing in the polls? And if so, will it be enough to put him over Feingold? I think a lot of people see that as kind of the future of the U.S. Senate hanging in the balance in Wisconsin.
To find out what happens with those stories, follow Mary and Craig on Twitter. You'll find Mary at mspicuzza, M-J-S. That's M-S-P-I-C-U-Z-Z-A, M-J-S. Craig is available at WIS Voter. That's W-I-S Voter. A few weeks ago, reporter Tom Kircher walked us through the results of recent PolitiFact claims by both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Once again, Tom joined editor Greg Borowski on this week's JS on Politics show. The two discussed recent claims by both candidates and how they held up in the Truthometer. Here's Tom and Greg with more.
We're joined now by Tom Kircher, a PolitiFact Wisconsin reporter, to talk about some of the latest fact checks in the presidential race. So, Tom, I'm going to do a couple quick ones on each side. This first one is from Donald Trump, who says the FBI has reopened its investigation into Hillary Clinton and discovered another 650,000 emails, and that was rated half true.
Yeah, there are reportedly 650,000 emails, but they come from an investigation of Anthony Weiner, not Hillary Clinton, and it's unclear how many of those emails are Clinton emails, how many of them might be duplicates that the FBI has already seen.
Okay. And here's a claim from Hillary Clinton, who says of Donald Trump, he has even said on his very first day in office he would require every school in America to let people carry guns into our classrooms, and that was rated true.
Yeah, he did say during the Republican primary campaign that on his first day in office he would get rid of gun-free zones around schools.
Okay, and those zones, of course, are designed a certain number of feet around a school, and
right.
they don't want guns in schools and
right.
churches and other places.
Right.
Okay, this is one from Donald Trump, who said, Wisconsin is one of several states where you can change your early ballot if you think you've made a mistake. That was rated true, and this was said just the other day up in Eau Claire.
Right. I don't know how many people in Wisconsin are aware of that, but the law has been on the books for quite a long time that if you cast your ballot early in person or by mail absentee, you can go back if you meet the deadline, scrap that ballot, cast a new one.
Yeah, and his idea was, well, hey, you might have already voted for Hillary Clinton, switch your vote, and people
right.
also could, of course, switch from Donald Trump to,
right.
to Hillary Clinton. Finally, here's one from Hillary Clinton. The claim we checked was Donald Trump's strategy is pretty simple. They've even said in his campaign it's to get women to stay home, get younger people to stay home, get people of color to stay home, and get a lot of smart, intelligent men to stay home, too. And that was rated half true.
Yeah, when Clinton says they've said in his campaign, that's a reference to stories quoting Trump campaign people anonymously, saying that part of their strategy is to try to reduce the vote among African Americans and certain other people. Trump has said, look, those are anonymous source stories, don't believe them. And he himself has also tried to woo some of those same groups of voters, such as African Americans.
All right, so that's some of the latest claims in the presidential race. You can find all of them and more down in the home stretch here at PolitiFact.com.
For more on politics this week, including more on the race between Ron Johnson and Russ Feingold, download our JS on Politics show. That's available on both iTunes and Stitcher Radio. As promised, I wanted to include something on the lighter side in today's show. Reporter Sarah Hauer was curious about the origin of the I Voted stickers, but when she looked into it, the creation of those stickers was harder to pin down than she anticipated. I'm here with Sarah Hauer today to talk about the infamous I Voted stickers. Now, Sarah, who claims to have come up with the idea, and why did they say they created them?
There's a few different factions of people who kind of want to stake their claim into these I Voted stickers, which is kind of funny that they kind of bubbled up into pop phenomenon and no one really can nail down where they came from. So I found three main players who can kind of put their claim to it. The first one was in 1985, and that's the Phoenix Realtors Association. And so according to their story, there was a bill or something having to do with transportation that was going to be voted on that year, and the realtors really had a lot of stake in it, and they've always been really supportive of transportation bills in the state. And so they wanted to encourage more people to get out and vote so that this measure would pass. And so the president that year came up with this idea, they say, to sponsor these I Voted stickers and pass them out. And from then on, it just grew. The next one is a sticker company called National Campaign Supply. They're in Florida. And according to their website, they've been selling, quote, the original I Voted stickers since 1986. But then in 1987, another woman who had just taken over the reins at this North Carolina company called Intab, she says that she's the one who put the flag on the sticker and marketed it nationwide and really saw it grew. And that happened in 1987. So it kind of blew up in this very short period of time where everyone says it was them.
And how did you track down these sources?
So this was kind of an interesting combination of things for me because I previously have been doing PolitiFact, so I was using kind of those reporting tactics to kind of sort it through. A lot of it was just on the internet, and then a few people I had to then message on Facebook or something to get to talk with them because the woman who copyrighted the flag image, she isn't with Intab anymore. So I tracked her down on Facebook. But it was, a lot of stories have kind of touched on this in the past. Usually they'll just reference one of those three historical landmarks saying this is where it came from. And so I pulled all those together.
So when did the stickers arrive in Milwaukee?
So I talked with the woman who is the commissioner for elections in the city back in the mid to late 90s and early 2000s. And she said she was the first one to order the stickers. And that was about 1995. So 10 years after the big boom kind of came, Milwaukee hopped onto the train and have them now.
But now we're experiencing almost like a post-boom where some places aren't going to have the sticker necessarily, but other types of paraphernalia or kitsch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in Chicago, they're actually doing wristbands this year, which is kind of different. I don't know if people will be as apt to want to wear them, because if you think about, you know, after you've gone to a festival or a theme park, the first thing you do when you walk out is you want to rip that thing off. And so I'm not sure if people will want to wear those all day. I've also heard that Wausau is handing out stickers for the first time this year. And then this morning, someone tweeted at me saying that for early voting, Wauwatosa actually wasn't handing out any.
I heard that as well. People are really mad in Tosa about this. So next question, of course, probably the most important one, is what do you do with your stickers after you get them?
This is kind of an awkward question because I've actually never gotten an I voted sticker.
How?
I have voted, but I've always voted absentee.
Okay.
And when my ballot arrives in the mail, they don't stick a sticker in there. And so since I've never actually gone to a polling location, yeah, I haven't gotten a sticker. So I feel kind of, left out.
I was going to say, it means that you can't be pretentious like me and put it on your MacBook Pro so everyone knows I have like a little sticker collection of them.
Yeah. I can't put it on my computer. I can't Instagram it.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to find someone who is willing to donate theirs to you. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Katie.
Sarah's story ran on the green sheet last week. If you missed it there, you can find it on jsonline.com. We've also posted a Q&A on everything you need to know about voting. This includes answers to questions about voter registration, photo ID, and posting selfies. Again, you can find that at jsonline.com. That's all for today's show. I'm your host, Katie O'Connell. Thank you for listening, and Godspeed through the election. Join me next week for more.